live from the Fury Electric Studio with Justin Akre and Pat Bradley on the Buzz Radio Network.
Welcome back. Hurricane Golf and Country Club, Bryant, Arkansas. We are joined by a couple of great coaches.
Keep it down over there.
From here in the state of Arkansas.
Boy, that girl, she has got a mouth on her.
Boy, pot, kettle. Pat Jones joining us. Houston Nutt joining us. Gentlemen, good to see you both.
Appreciate
good
you having us. Yeah. Good to see you guys.
You guys are both, after coaching and struggling and stressing and having to deal with all that, now you got in the world of media where it's easy. Kick your feet up and the living's good, isn't it?
Well, at least you get to go home at 2 o'clock.
There's that.
or 1 o'clock or whenever, unless you obviously got the late night stuff, but it doesn't stay with you quite as much.
There's no recruiting, but Coach, more honeydews now, right?
That's right. That's true.
Yeah, so there you go.
Have you guys played golf today? You guys already played?
No. We drove around.
Drove around.
Got to see everybody else play.
Yeah. That's good.
Just kind of being nice guys.
Again, no stress.
I used to play all the time. Don't play anymore. Houston rarely plays, so we're just being nice people.
Are you in Oak City or Tulsa?
Tulsa.
Okay.
Tulsa.
You know, I have not spent a lot of time there. When I was in college, of all things, I went up there and shot a video with Tubby Smith when he was the basketball coach there. And spent a little time there. But everybody talks about Tulsa being a great town. And Chris Kromos goes up there a lot.
No, so, I know. I enjoy Tulsa.
You like Tulsa?
Tulsa, well, times. When we were in Stillwater, actually years ago when I was in Fayetteville, which even we used to go over there 100 years ago, and it always reminded me a little bit of Little Rock, which is where I'm from, with the river and all this kind of stuff. And at one time, it was the oil capital of the world. I mean, the streets literally were almost paved with gold. Everything, everybody had money over there then. And it's kind of making a comeback. I mean, Tulsa's a good town. There's a, you know, the obviously the state of Oklahoma with the way the energy stuff is, it's booming pretty good. And Tulsa's part of it. So, but Tulsa's a nice town.
For a while, we were able to get in there and get some pretty good talent. Basketball had some good talent.
You're talking about we Arkansas.
Yeah, that's what I'm
talking
about.
Okay, no,
I got that Razorback blood in my veins.
He didn't bleed orange.
It's now I coach at four major universities, so the we's and two NFL organizations. So the we's kind of run together on, you know, a little bit. But it's one of the things that, of course, Houston used to come over there. Felix Jones, and they would, and over the years, Arkansas has come over there and gotten kids now. They're trying to make a little bit more of a move, I think, to get back in there. Pittman, the line coach, will make a little journey over there from time to time. But over the years, particularly.
Now, Coach, they had some great basketball guys come out of there. Mayberry. McDaniel.
No question.
Well, Mayberry. Coach Richardson was there.
You know, see, Mayberry went into the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame year I did.
Okay.
And we see those guys. No, with what Nolan did and that reputation and the whole deal, and you know, high school basketball is really good over there, and Arkansas should. They need to be a little bit more of a presence over there.
What do you think with Tulsa? And I'm talking basketball now, but it just seems like Tulsa basketball has been a springboard for so many coaches. You had, of course, Coach Richardson there, Tubby Smith, Bill Self was over there.
And you see J.D. Barnett, you know, the whole they've had a whole bunch of them that have. It's not a, you know, every new coach they hire will claim it's a destination job, which it's not.
Yeah. Oh, now you got Frank Hayes over there.
Frank claims it's not a destination job. It's a very good first job. Now, they stepped up a little bit with Frank. And he's hired a veteran.
Is it really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it is.
I just don't know if you want that problem. I'm sorry. Should I be saying that?
Well, you're
that's
biased.
That's okay. That might get you in the tournament or get you further up the ladder, to be quite honest about it. But they've kicked up a few things here with it was a surprise hire. Really was. And he's brought in some very veteran guys, assistant-wise. And it'll be interesting because they've got a got a good tradition. Classically, it has been a stop. It has been a real good first job.
Yeah.
Go in there and win, and that's all the guys you named off and others, that's what's happened. But we'll see how it'll go from here. You know, they're getting in that new American Conference, and the only people on now, they got to jump on with UConn and those cats. Mm. So they better pick the pace up, you know.
They need to get some talent up there.
Houston, Pat Jones joining us here in the zone. A couple of great coaches here. We appreciate their time. And you coached a couple of great running backs, including a Heisman Trophy winner. Coach, I've made the argument that I think Darren's two-year period where he was the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy is as impressive or maybe more impressive than being the winner once with the two seasons he put back-to-back. But certainly for you guys, it all started with the run game. We're seeing that philosophy come back now, and certainly it's departure from what Coach Petrino tried to do here at Arkansas. Fan base has been a little bit wary, and certainly the wins aren't coming fast enough. They never do. You know
right.
how it goes. But what do you think? I mean, what Coach Bielema was trying to build here certainly takes a little bit of time, but you think he's on the right path here?
Well, you know, it's you're going to need some patience. You know, if you look at the last 4 or 5 years of recruiting, you know, you've got to get more. You've got to get more talent in this league, and it's a hard gig. I mean, it's hard right now,
yeah.
And so you got to take some time. But you know, again, you know, there's a lot of ways you can win now. There's a lot of ways you can win. People don't realize that Clint Sterner threw a lot of touchdown passes, too, now.
That's right.
But you got to be able to run the ball and stop the run. I don't care what you do. You got to be able to run it, and you got to be able to stop it. And we always had some good guys. You mentioned a couple of those guys, Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, and Peyton Hillises, and Madre Hill, all those guys, Jakuma, they were tough. Mm-hmm. But we had tough lines. To me, what I see is in the trenches.
Yep.
It's what you didn't take care of the last 4 or 5 years.
We always talk about that trip down to Texas in Austin, you know, and that was the thing. It was like Texas had all these high-profile athletes. I mean, they had Williams at receiver and all these guys that were big-time, you know, studs on even in the defensive backfield. But it was, at the end of the day, you guys kicked their butt up front on both sides and won that game down in Austin, which was a lot of fun.
No question. No question. Nothing like that celebrated locker room in Austin. Nothing like it. But you're right, though. You won up front. And, you know, Matt Jones, again, another guy that made a lot of plays. He made a lot of plays in the passing game as well, because
right.
they're going to overpopulate you, and you better have a Marcus Monk or somebody out there to say. And that's one thing I don't see, the wide receiver. You need a wide receiver to go with these backs, and I don't know.
You know, Justin, it's interesting because I used to go over there and watch them when he was there. Obviously, after Houston left, and I didn't go over there for obvious reasons. But I have here Randy Shannon's a dear old friend of mine, and ours was with others of mine in Miami Dolphins years ago, and played for Jimmy Johnson and Dave Watson. All those people that are close to us. But I'd seen them in last 2 days. I went over there and saw them here a couple 3 weeks ago in the spring. It looks to me like that. I would still say work in progress. This thing that does that jump out, and I've told Houston this, and I told those guys this. And when I used to go over and watch his groups. You know, I saw Felix, I saw McFadden, I saw the big defensive end you had that was a first-round draft choice. What's his name?
Jamal Anderson.
Yeah, in Houston, the high-round pick.
Yep.
And you watch them practice. Now, those guys aren't there. They're not there.
Right.
It's, you know, they're coached hard, and they're coached well, and they're doing sound things. That division, obviously, is the hardest division in all of college football.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting better, and like you said, you don't see a lot of, or really any big playability outside. Those backs are all tough kids. I did not see the little the faster guy, and it was not there the day I was there. He should give them, as best I've been told, some big playability. Those other kids are tough guys. You know, they're not going to get you up out of your seat a whole lot. But,
right.
You know, they're tough kids who are well coached, and I think the Henry kid's got a great future. His great-granddaddy was my family doctor here growing up. So that takes
partial.
Me. When it's your great-grandfather, it starts, you know, categorizing things for you and everything. But they – you know, those two young linemen, I mean, are drafting, you know, the two tall kids. I'm going to say the names now, but they're draftable-looking guys, or will be.
Yeah.
You know, defensively, it looks like they're maybe a little bit more active. But, again, this hit me when I was down here for this last Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame. I'm standing there with Ivan Jordan, Bryson Manor, Dennis Winston.
Mm.
You know, those guys we had back there in the 70s when we were coaching it. Those guys aren't there now.
Right.
They're not there.
Yeah.
So, again, like Houston said, you know, it's going to take a while now. It's in particularly with the Texas Tech ball game. You know, the radio we do in Tulsa goes over there into Arkansas quite a bit, so we do keep up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at their schedule, and that Tech ball game, where it falls, to me, is right where Rutgers was last year.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do anything, you better win that game.
Right.
And I look at it in the same way. I can't remember what's it, Auburn, Nicholls State, or somebody, and then
that's right.
and then wherever Tech falls, and Tech's so erratic because, you know, they've tried to – all the quarterbacks have been run off other than one, but they're going to throw the ball around and give you some problems, and Lubbock can be rowdy and all that. But I would think that would be the real key, you know, to where – how far this particular Arkansas group goes to watch and see what they do out there against Tech.
A lot of changes, and you and I were reminiscing about the old Big 8 days, and Coach Knight, you've been through that too and haven't played that schedule, but there has been so much in the shifting, and now you got – I mean – some of the things that I was telling a friend of mine the other day about, you know, talking about Maryland coming to the Big Ten. He's like, Maryland's going to the Big Ten? I'm like, I know it makes no sense at all. I mean, but it is a little bit sad, and I'm sure, you know, for guys that are a little bit old, Tommy Smith, guys that are a little bit older than me that like to talk about the old days too. But think about it. It makes you a little sad, you know, and certainly it's great to see the SEC West now being the most powerful, you know, division in all of college football. It's great to be part of that, but at the same time, you get a little nostalgic about the way it was.
We sat over there in Oklahoma doing radio, and you think, wait a minute, I haven't talked about Nebraska yet. Wait a minute, they're not in the in the Big 8 or Big 12.
That's the hardest one for
me. Wait a minute, Colorado had their moments, and now Missouri's gone, and you know, and I coached at two Southwest Conference schools, Arkansas and SMU, and now there's no more Southwest Conference, and it's the Big 12 is an interesting deal to follow because it's landlocked. And like you were talking about, all of a sudden you think, well, wait a minute, West Virginia's in this league with them, you know, and then you start adding the TCUs and the Baylors, which have done a very good job, and they're building very nice 45,000-seat stadiums, and they're winning football games. Well, those two stadiums combined won't fill up what Nebraska does.
Right.
So and that was part of the Southwest Conference issue, is, you know, had too many private schools and all that. So that's the Big 12 has got some very interesting issues to deal with going forward because it has gotten watered down, particularly with Texas down. Texas trying to give up football. You know, right now.
Loving it.
No, seriously. If for the first time since 1937, University of Texas did not have a player drafted. And that blows your mind if you've been in the business. Mm-hmm. It just literally blows your mind. And they'll be back, obviously, because Texas is Texas. But they haven't been very good at all, guys. I mean, usually you tend to judge conferences. I don't know how Houston feels about it, but we always try to judge a conference by how good it is at the top.
Right.
If you got those marquee guys that are winning big and all this kind of stuff, then the league's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, now you take Texas, and they're having a hard time beating people and making coaching changes and all that. Strong them will do all right, but it's going to take a while.
You talk about ranking the conferences. What do you guys feel about the college football playoff, and do you think we're getting to where it should have been for a long time and where it needs to be with how they're going to have that 14 college football playoff?
I talked to Coach Jones earlier about this. Better be careful now. We've had it pretty good. We've had a pretty good deal. And how many times have we got the championship game wrong? Maybe one or maybe twice. I don't know.
Max.
But the bowl games, I remember Michael Orr and Dexter McCluster going to their first bowl game ever in their life. And they'll never forget that. The Cotton Bowl was phenomenal. And so I know that's the world we're in, the playoff. Everybody wants the playoff. And so now they want eight teams. They don't want four. We hadn't got the four yet, but they want eight. And, you know, it's probably coming because of money. But I don't know. You better be careful what you wish for.
It'll be interesting whether they split the division or not. You know, there's a side of you that says, you know, the most exciting thing probably I've ever been involved in is the NFL playoffs. Once the playoffs start now, it's incredibly exciting to be a part of. And with basketball doing what they've done, it's, you know, knocked out and everything. Now, on the same hand, if you go that direction and with eight of them, now, does Tulsa and SMU have any legitimate chance to be in the final eight? No, they don't. At some point, I think it'll end up being 16, unless they split the division. If they split the division, it'll stay at, I think Houston's right, it'll go from 4 to 8. But the interesting thing is, are they going to divide this division and now getting into those other financial issues that we're hearing about? Because the Tulsas and SMUs and Rice's of the world cannot afford that.
Right.
They can't afford
haves
that.
And have-nots.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about that, too, a little bit ago. And it's funny, you know, I know I'm in the right business, Coach, because I am a true, at my core, contrarian, because all the years I bashed the BCS – and now, just like you said, did a pretty good job at the end of the
pretty
day.
Good.
You know, when you look back on it, it was a pretty good run. So,
and then you look at the schedule when Arkansas plays LSU, Georgia, Florida, you know, Alabama. It's pretty good playoff teams now.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
That's right.
And they can complain. Pac-12 can complain all they want about, you don't have nine conference. You're not playing everybody, and that day's coming. But still, It's pretty tough.
Okay, so you're in Oklahoma. I know they're talking about the world of college football and the Oklahoma school specific. You're in New Mexico now. What is Sports Talk Radio doing in New Mexico during the year?
Well, actually, I moved from New Mexico to Plano, Texas. I'm a little closer.
I did not
now.
Know that. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're back to normal yeah. Sports Talk
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
That has to be weird. Wasn't it the wife's decision out there?
That's
in
right.
New Mexico?
That's right.
So
that's
you
right.
were able to twist
well,
it
no,
around.
Well, no. Actually, what happened? The rental home got sold. That said, this home never sells. So it's sold. It gets sold. And so, I said, hey, you want to get closer to the kids? I said, absolutely.
Where
got
are
twins
we,
in Dallas.
Okay.
Got twins in Dallas. One in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and then one just graduated from Pepperdine. Thank goodness. And she's living in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah.
Now she was.
That's
the
Church of Christ school. That's where I want my.
That's
where I want my kids.
I thought
to go.
One of them was is. Your daughter was in L.A.
Yes.
Okay. Malibu's right up the road, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was. I don't know. See, he's a high dollar guy.
Yes.
He
yeah.
comes from, you know, well, champagne cocktails.
Here's the deal. My kid's got three choices for Church of Christ. He's either going to go to Harding or Oklahoma Christian or Pepperdine. Guess which one I'm pushing for.
Yeah, you go.
It'd be nice.
As long as the grandparents are paying for
that.
It.
I was just going to say, yeah, no kidding.
I need to be a retired ex-college football coach. I think I'm going to pay for Pepperdine. It ain't on a radio salary kind of gig, if you know what I mean.
You make a bunch of it.
So you like doing what you're doing now?
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun, you know, get to talk a lot of football and get to watch a lot of it. And then CBS has been real good to me. Get to watch a lot of football on weekends and
any
talk
interest
a lot of it.
In coming back?
Like to have one more.
Would you two like to work together?
Always.
I'm 10 years older than he is.
I know, but do you want to do it again?
No. Oh, no.
You're
no,
done.
No, I'm done. I've been done for a while.
You don't play golf. What do you do?
I do radio and go down to the Arkansas River and jog. I mean,
you fish?
No, I just – and then I do whatever happens.
Okay. But you want if the right opportunity comes along.
If it's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many right jobs do you think are out there?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It doesn't have to be in the SEC. You know, you just miss coach. You miss that locker room. You miss that competitive side on Saturday, you know, when you wake up. You miss that. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard to get back in.
What do you miss the least?
The phone calls after 10 p.m.
Things
no
going
question
wrong.
About it. There's a lot more now, Coach and I were talking about, a lot more now with Facebook, Twitter, where you got to keep up with a young man, how to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have some young guys on your staff to say, hey, I'm going to communicate with you every single day on Facebook. Let's go. You know?
Is there any other way to feed that need, you think, besides getting back into coaching? I mean, would you ever want to do NFL or anything else?
NFL would be great. But again, you know, I don't have Pat Jones. Pat Jones really gave me my first job. Larry Lace will get he gave me my first job, but right. he hired me really quickly after that. But see,
I got him after the first spring. He did one spring at Jonesboro,
yeah,
and then bingo, Jimmy Johnson left. I became the head
yeah.
coach over there. He's the first guy.
Well, I would think he would be a pretty hot commodity for NFL team. I see a lot of guys who had a lot less success than you did in college who were college pro coaches now.
We've talked about that. Houston and I shared a lot of these talks. That's the direction I went, you know, for the NFL 10 years, and it's really a – if you're like anything else, if you're the right coach, right owner, it's a pretty good gig. Now it's a long, hard journey. It's a marathon.
Where were you in the NFL?
8 years with the Dolphins and 2 years with the Raiders.
Okay.
Through the Jimmy Johnson connection, see that's all how that became. Mm-hmm. And then North Turner went out there to Oakland. North was with us out there, so I did my 10 years in there, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I say most of it was fun. I mean, it's hard at times, like the rest of it is. But it's Houston's encountered now. You know, I had that element of all those guys that were active in the NFL when I got out of college, and now that's kind of run its course a little bit with a lot of people. He knows he'll hit on something. It's a shame that I'll say this in front of him that the college football or professional football needs Houston Nutt, needs the Houston Nutts of the world. And I'm prejudiced. That's a homer statement, but I don't care. I don't come down here. You know, but it does, and you know, he'll hit on something here. He will.
What do you looking back on your careers, both you guys, when you first started, what would you tell a young coach starting out, or maybe something that you have wished somebody had told you when you were first starting out in the business?
I had some good guys to learn from. You know, I had Coach Jones. You know, you had from Lacewell to Eddie Sutton. Got to play for Eddie Sutton, Gene Cady,
right,
Pat
yeah.
Foster, Frank Broyles, Lou Holtz.
Wow.
So I had some great mentors. So,
what did you think when you first started to coach that you drew on what your experience was?
Oh, well, I took
them?
A little bit from each. Now, you got to be yourself because you can't fool an 18-year-old. You know, they know when you fake, so you got to be yourself. But the thing you took from Coach Johnson, Pat Jones, were, you know, they were hard workers. They were tough, great X and O guys. Discipline, be in shape, all of those things. Frank Broyles was the master recruiter. Mm. Master recruiter. Lou Holtz, master of motivation and X and O's, and make sure you take a 6-inch step, all those little bitty things. And then Eddie Sutton, defense, dedication, discipline, those three things. So you take a little bit from each and be yourself and go. So what I tell a young person is be yourself, number one, and you get good people around you. You get really good people, loyal people that know how to, that love football. Mm-hmm. And you got to have recruiters, you got to have coaches, but you got to have that chemistry. You got to have the whole package.
Yeah. Coach, you, I thought your turn on the blind side was outstanding. Any interest in doing anything else in Hollywood?
Seven seconds.
Incredible performance, though. Any interest in that? I mean, because you got the personality for you. You'd be great.
Yeah, Switzer's got a movie coming out, and he's the
Bootlegger's boy. I got to get Switzer.
Switzer's supposed to be here today.
Come on, Switzer.
He said he won't go be here, so I came down for that. he's going to have a movie. Huge is going to coach in that thing. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting what you said. You know, I was so fortunate as Houston was because I'm again older, but coming up here in Little Rock, you know, I was able to play for Ray Peters. They're all gone now. Ray Peters, C.W. Kempel, those guys, and then they in turn hired me back. And that was when, you know, Hall Northside, actually Central had taken a little bit of a dip at that point in time, but that was where it was at. And that was very fortunate. Those guys had a really, even in relative terms, from high school to major college to the NFL, those guys had as great a grasp of what it takes to win from a fundamental standpoint as anybody I've ever coached for, with, had coach under, any of that stuff. That was, and of course, Houston played for Bernie Cox over here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was really, I was really, that's Ken Hatfield speaking of excellent football coach.
There you go.
Just walked right by here.
That?
Good to see you, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
But that was, in that regard, was really good. And then again, the recruiting part of it, like you said, Frank Broyles was bar none the best in a home. When I went down to coach with Ron Meyer at SMU, Ron had spent time in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys for several years in personnel and probably learned as much about the evaluative process from the NFL type as anything. Most of our projects were involved in the recruiting aspect of it. And Ron was really, really, really good. So I think both of us were very fortunate to, you know, come up under those kind of people. And like say, when I became the head coach of Oklahoma State, the first phone call I made after I called Larry to tell him I was going to hire Houston, I called Houston, and Larry was all crying and everything and all. But he's the first guy we hired over here. And so again, during that Thomas Sanders, he coached a receiver named Hartley Dykes, who's to this day the all-time leading receiver in the history of the Big Eight.
Yeah, I saw too much of him.
We were fortunate to have a run. And of course, Mike Gundy, that's the head coach over there now, was our quarterback.
Right.
And, Mike is still to this day the all-time leading passer in the history of the Big Eight.
Yeah.
And then we hired him, Pat, right after. So his first job was over there. So he's kind of probably the lower rung of the family tree, to say that right now, of guys that kind of came through our little clique of people.
Gundy once gave a speech, "I'm a man, I'm 20, when he was the quarterback. I may remember that one. It wasn't as publicized.
Let me interrupt. Now, growing up, Pat would have loved my summertime because here's the pickup games. Almer Lee, Dexter Reed, Sidney Moncrief, Ron Brewer.
You had to get better.
Charlie Johnson.
When was I going to get my shots up, Coach?
Yeah, you got to screen. You got to play some defense every now and then.
See, Pat, actually, when I was coaching over here at Hall, my last year, they made me coach the 10th grade basketballers. I used to pick Sidney and Tommy Tapley up over on Battery Street and buy them some donuts and chocolate milk. And I think we were 32-1.
Close enough.
Oh, hey, yeah. I had all the answers.
That's good. Close enough to all.
Run Sidney.
The best coaching move, make sure they get to the game.
That's it.
That's the number one coach of all time.
And I will say this. What's up, Justin? Said earlier, let me just say this, to whether the having two Heisman Trophy runner-ups or a winner is the best, you can make way better promos when you have the winner.
This is true.
That's good for marketing.
See, it's hard to make a radio promo for him now. I say, well, he had two guys that were the runner-up.
Well, yeah.
See, with me, they say you had a Heisman Trophy.
If Felix hadn't shown up or Darren hadn't shown up, I think probably one of them would have won.
Oh, so. McFadden.
But thank God we had them both.
McFadden should have won the thing.
Yeah,
he should have won.
Well, nobody's going to remember Troy Smith's name, but I think we'll remember Darren for a long time. Let me ask you one last thing, too, before we let you all go. Speaking of high school, there has been a lot of talk, and it's been sad. I mean, you both, I'm sure, got – I know you got a lot of talent out of Little Rock. I'm sure you did, too, at Oklahoma State over the years when you were coaching. But at this point right now, I don't know if it's the lowest it's ever been, but certainly it's not exactly at a high point for high school football now. Is there something that can be done? What would you suggest? I mean, they've added spring football, and there are some programs that are thriving, but, you know, it's been kind of a down period as far as recruits go.
You know, I saw Clay Henry, who's in this tournament. Clay sends me his magazine – And he had a list of, you know, and sometimes you pay attention to that and sometimes you don't, but I think he had like the top 30 or something or what people consider suspects, prospects, what you say.
Suspects, and, I like that.
Well,
depends if they're
all suspects. I mean, no.
Depends how many 10 o'clock calls or coaches like getting, right?
Well,
he's right. It's a good word.
To the coaches, they might be prospects. Right. To the guys doing the bankers, they're just suspects. But they, the point I'm trying to make is that I looked through there, and there was not a youngster from Little Rock Public Schools. Speaking of.
Oh, boy.
Speaking
of suspects.
Hey, let's give it to him.
Get him in
here. The world.
We're going to have to take a commercial break before we get this on. We won't be able to get one story.
He's the man.
Yeah, well, he's the greatest storyteller in the history of the world. There's no question about that.
Look at the records. Look at how many touchdown passes we got. Nobody talks about that.
And you are the winningest and the losing coach in the history of Arkansas State, correct? And you get to introduce Switzer now as the second winningest. I know.
Hey, here's the greatest story of all. We're at a golf tournament. Frank Broyles, somebody comes up and says, Frank Broyles, he makes this statement. There's three of the smartest men I've ever been around. And Larry Lacewell comes up and says, let's see. I know I'm one of them. Let's see, one, who could be the second and third?
That's like I say about Jerry Jones. He fired the greatest group of coaches in the history of football. He fired Tom Landry. He fired Jimmy Johnson. He fired Barry Switzer. He and Parcells fired me. It took, Jimmy to do that. But, good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Coach.
Great. Coach, are you playing today?
Yeah, I'm going to play.
Are you a great golfer, too, or just a great coach?
He's great everything.
Coach, aren't I?
You are a great coach.
So I'm not a great golfer.
Okay.
He can play a bit. Don't
it is funny. Every coach I know is like, oh, I'm terrible. I'm like, yeah, it's because you don't want people to think you're playing too much.
Well,
most
of us didn't start playing golf to very late in our career.
Right.
It's the thing to do today. Yeah. We didn't have these tours.
See, Justin, you hear all this, and this is the same guy that'll be putting a set of new pings in his car.
Honestly. I used to hit balls for practice at Arkansas State every day.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have anything better to do, I wasn't coaching. I was letting Ellen Hawley and all those guys do the coaching. I saw Pat the other day, though, up
in Tulsa. Yeah, he was up Tulsa playing golf. Yeah, right. That's good. What y'all are doing. Larry came on the radio with us, and as usual, good. Pat had, listen to this, guys. We had him, Billy Sims, and Mike Rozier on with us all at the same time. That's an interesting.
That's a good backfield.
That's a really.
It won't set well here with these Arkansas people, but it didn't take the other night in Tulsa. It amazed me because Billy Sims walked in the door, yep. Greg Pruitt walked in the door, Joe Washington walked in the door, and Kenny King walked in the door. Now, for you Arkansas, some of you people may not know those names, but in Oklahoma, hey, I guarantee Houston Nutton.
We all do them. Everybody in the Big Eight. Yeah, huh?
Gentlemen, great seeing y'all. We got to take a time out. My producer's about to have a connection. Appreciate y'all. It's good
seeing you guys.
We'll talk some more soon. Take care. All right, it's 11:54. Sorry, Maddie T. We're way behind. We'll be back.
Honey, Houston. Houston means the last.